And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, Job says, I long for the years gone by. Hey, guess what? The Lord longs. You know what the Lord longs for? He longs for that too. The way that you and I used to engage with him every day and enjoy him on a continual basis before we got distracted. Ow. To Revelation chapter 2, I guess we need to go, where it mentions that Jesus tells us to remember, repent, and do what you did at first. Ow. Next, it's one thing to look back and appreciate. It's another thing to look back and be dissatisfied or disappointment. When we keep looking backwards and saying those days were lost and that we've lost the ability to walk forward in the Lord because we keep looking backwards, we're doing ourselves a disservice. That's a service that's being dissed, if you get that. We just talked not too long ago about Lot's wife. The lesson is that if you look back at something that you shouldn't keep looking back on, you'll turn into salt. Yikes. The other lesson is that if you look back on something that's favorable, you don't just sit there. Instead, you say, praise the Lord, let me get there again. And finally, Job 29, 11 through 20 is all about how great Job was. Isn't that amazing? It's fantastic because you want to know who tells us this? Job. He tells us. That's the problem. Even for the most righteous people in Scripture, they have a tendency to point to themselves. Job's a great guy, very mature, but he wasn't sinless. When it says in the King James he was perfect, it meant he was mature. In this particular area, he wasn't operating with a great deal of maturity. He focused on the I. But Scripture wants us to focus on the we.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemusincrease.org. Hold on. Let me see. No, it's working. david@hemusincrease.org. I actually touched that one. People don't realize that. They don't know. I really do touch it and see if it's working.
I was wondering with the light still on.
Yeah. The light is still it is still open. That's a good sign. So if you want to email, you can do that. Text 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483, or you can call us. Live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
All right, watch how we reverse this. Talking to Dynamite D is like heading into the week with confidence.
Oh, wow, Dave, I like that.
That's not bad, not too shabby. Here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you've got a praise report. Maybe you got something that's on your mind you just want to share. It's not a kvetch fest, but I understand there's a lot of political turmoil going on. There's a lot of news. There's a lot of interesting weather. And there's a lot of weeds growing in my yard. All those are true. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is let's engage. Let's hang out with one another. Let's talk with one another. Fellowship with one another. If you cannot be a Christian just Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. You can't do it. Okay? And I'm just being forward about it. You have to have a living relationship with the living God. It has to be that way. And so we're only hoping to encourage that. We're not it. We're just here to encourage it. And so we ask you to reach out to us, touch base with us, let us know how you're doing. Let us pray for you. Let us love on you. And then also, you could also answer trivia. Here's your first trivia question. Everybody should get this. This should be a slam dunk. Which James wrote the Epistle of James, the apostle or the brother? Maybe the brother of Jesus. Which of them, the apostle or the brother of Jesus? If you think you know the answer to who or which James wrote in the Epistle of James, you can call us 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So you have a couple of different ways that you can do it. We think that stuff is fantastic. We love that. So that is the trivia question. We do have people that are responding all over the place, and we do have somebody who's called in, so we will give them the opportunity. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Knock, knock, David. It's Jay again. How are you, brother?
I'm doing wonderful, Jay. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing really good. I can't wait until you talk about Bishop Shelter, Shepherds, and Elders again, because I want to talk to you about that, but it sounds like that's over for the day. But I'm going to answer your trivia question.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give it to you, and then you tell me the answer. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you that it was the brother of Jesus our Lord that wrote James.
Well, that is correct, Amundo, brother! You are 100% right. And in that case, family...
Wasn't the other James already...
He was already dead.
Was he already dead?
Yep. Acts chapter 12. That James died in Acts chapter 12, 1 and 2. And so that epistle wasn't written until several years after that. So if
like
the...
Like 50, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was 51. And that, it could be 40. Now, that's another silly argument, but somewhere between 49 and 51, right?
It doesn't matter. We got it now.
Yeah, I mean, we got the book. But, I mean, I think it's hilarious because it's like people are like, no, it had to be the other James. It'd be like, no, that would be an amazing epistle. Anyway.
Yep, there you go. Well, it would be Revelation 2.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or second Revelation.
It'd be very, very unique. So, excellent job, though.
You start my day off. I work late days. You make them wonderful. I wait for the David Spoon experience.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
For you to ask a real easy trivia question, so I can talk to you.
I got one coming in about two questions from now. Not easy. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, I'll be listening.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
I love you.
All right. You too, bro. God bless. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right. We sure do have fun, don't we? I mean, we do.
We love our caller, Dave.
Yeah, we just, you know, we love everybody. It's like one of those cool, I don't know. How do you not like this stuff? Anyway, all right, so let's get into, is there anything else we got to cover? I don't think so.
I think that was it, Dave.
Yeah, okay. Let me get into this text. So why I find this amazing is, and I've been telling you, I've been trying to be super honest about it. I'm cherry picking certain parts of Job on purpose, okay? Because if I go through each little line, each thing, and I understand some people do that, but some people say, well, they do expository teaching in their church, and then they do a whole chapter in a sit. It's like, you didn't do expository teaching, friend. That's not true. Expository teaching is breaking down every word. But that's not the point. The point is, one, I want to give props to Al, because you know what he answered on James the brother or James the apostle? He answered James. That's a brilliant answer. Anyway, so here's what I want you to catch, okay? As we go through, I pick out certain things. And when you see this thing, so we've got like two more of the Jobies, and then we're going to get into the responses and stuff from the Lord, which are like, if you think you've experienced humility, you wait till we get into how God responds to Job, and you'll be like, okay, God, that's a whole other thing. But Job says in chapter 29, verse 1, he says, Job continues to speak. Because remember, he's on his last argument. He's basically he's going to go for it from this point on all the way to the end, just going to kind of throw everything out there. It's kind of like you've had an argument with three friends for hours and hours and hours, and you're going to have the last 15 minutes, and you're just going to lay it all out there, right? Okay. Job 29:1, Job continued speaking, I long for the years gone by when God took care of me. when he lighted the way before me and I walked safely through the darkness in my early years in my friendship with God. Okay, now, the reason I want to bring this up is because this happens often. And when I say often, believers start off in the faith. Nothing bizarre there. Depending on how you started in the faith can have a big significance on whether it was a high watermark or not. If you start off in the faith and you grew up in a family of faith, and then you make a decision to publicly confirm, you kind of reset everything. And then there's other people that are like in Zaza land, and they come into the kingdom, and it's like, oh, I can't believe the Bible's real. And so it's like a kind of a somewhat of a different experience because it's maybe a little bit more intensified. So what Job is talking about is, you know, when I was younger in the faith, it was like, wowzer, bowser, easy peasy, let's go, let's go. That's the time when you prayed a prayer and it dribbled out of the left side of your mouth and God answered it before the drool got down on your chest. And everybody loves that. What do we call that?
The honeymoon season.
Right, everybody. Okay, got it, right? So he longs for the day. Here's the problem. That period, per se, never actually had to disappear. That's not the problem. Is that it is true that God is going to make you grow. But what happens is as you continue in your Christianity, you begin to find out that there are many, many, many distractions. And you know who taught about that? Jesus, when he was talking about sowing the seed. He said, you know, some seed falls and it grows, but the cares of this life. The worries, the frustration chokes the seed. Who do you think he's talking to? Us. People are like, well, those people aren't saved. Nah, I don't think that's true. I don't buy into that. The seed's there, it's growing. But they're not getting the benefit of the walk. That's different. And so I think it's a self-injury to a degree. It's a self-implied, self-inflicted injury. And we can argue about it later on. Here's the point I'm trying to make. Jesus, Revelation chapter 2, to Laodicea, Jesus, the first church, right? So you got the seven churches, and you know, people are like, well, these are the seven different church stages, or this is how the church is all at one time, or oh, great, great, yeah, fantastic. I saw something. You know what he said to the very first church? Okay, you used to love me, you used to hang out with me, you used to spend time with me, and here's the three things I need you to do. I need to you need to remember how it was, I need you to repent because it's not that way, and I need you to do what you did when we first started this whole thing. I mean, that's what Jesus is like. That's how you got to get it all back. And you think it's a joke in a certain sense, but how about this for a husband and wife? Watch this. And you tell me how true this is because you know it's going to be true. You do all that you can, most husbands will do, before they're married to woo the woman. Take her on dates, leave little notes, big back massage, all this stuff, save up, buy her a gift, all that, right? Then you get married, and then what? Well, we're married. I won her. I'm done. Dum, 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 dum. Once you win the woman, you have to keep winning the woman. In other words, the idea that you're done is ridiculous. And in the truth, if you want to spark it back up in that relationship, you know what you do? Yep. Give her little notes, you massage her back, you take her out on a date, you buy her little gifts. It's the exact same thing you did in the beginning, and then you can't figure out why she's not how she was because you're not doing what you used to do. That principle is dead on accurate when it comes to Christians. Not doing what we used to do.
Dr. Day on that one.
Oh, come on. You guys know it's true. I mean, it's just like, oh, yeah. All right. Now many Christians fit God in the schedule. Then God was the schedule.
I'm just going to break here because there's just nothing better that I could possibly say. I'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know, a little
Telling
bit
me the show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Okay.
I'm talking about the show. But I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, oh, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to, like, relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's a, kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
If Jesus, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Got a decent trivia question for you. Get ready. All right, so we had Samson answer one, right? Brother Jay answered the other one, right? Right? All right, here we go. Ready? All right, here we go. Ready? This is for our eschatological friends. People are like, what'd you say? That doesn't matter. Okay. What happened right after the seventh seal was broken in Revelation? What happened right after the seventh seal was broken in Revelation? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Those are the three ways that you can respond if you know what happened right after the seventh seal was broken in the book of Revelation. Not revelations. Singular, folks. Revelation. Say revelation. Okay. I got two. Somebody's calling in. We're giving that a chance. We're going to have to hold on because I only have two jokes. You know it's sad when I only have two. Now, I have a whole ton of jokes, but see, I just put them on separate pieces of paper, and I only collected two for the show. So just tell them to hold on. Can they hold on? Are they able to hold on? Yes or no?
They are. Are they, if it's okay if they call back earlier to call again, or
Okay, on this one it is. So it's probably, okay. is it Jay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let Jay, let's have him come through. Let's have him answer.
Okay.
And then we'll have somebody else on the one after that. But give him a chance. So let's do it. Send him through. There we go. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Jay, you got to turn down your radio. Turn down your radio. See, whenever you keep the radio on, it does
that.
David,
that's what happens. Silence.
That's all right. All right, my friend.
I'm almost as funny as you are, brother.
I believe it. You know, you got to listen, though. My wife doesn't think I'm funny, so that doesn't help either one of us.
Is he the one that does the description of you every time, every day?
No.
Oh, because I just imagine that would be your wife. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
She just tells me. You know what she tells me? She says, I'm her gift. She's my gift. She got gypped. Anyway, no.
Now I want to ask you. I know there was silence. I don't know how long, but it didn't go dark or anything. It just everything was silent.
That is correct. And let me tell you for how long. So it says that there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. Okay, that's what the scripture says. It's specific. And so again, when I tell people and they go, "Well, there's no time in heaven," it's like, "Uh-oh, well, let's throw out this chapter." Anyway, so it's like,
well, doesn't it say on heaven and earth?
Yeah, well, then it's just silence in heaven for about a half hour, and so all that means is
so it doesn't say on earth. Okay.
Yeah. So what's coming is some serious stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what's coming.
Yeah.
All right. Love you, brother. I don't want to take up too much of your show.
All right. God bless, bro.
All right. You have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Brother Jesse wants to know, is Revelation a collective noun? Perhaps. That's my response. There's some argument there. I'm not willing to take a side. Here we go. I got three. Here's your worst one. Three jokes. Here's your worst one. Ready? Some people eat snails. Remember, this is the worst joke. They must not like fast food. Yeah, I'll take it. All right. This one's pretty good. Ready? You got to think about this one. Where do hamburgers take their sweethearts on Valentine's Day to dance? Where do hamburgers take their sweethearts on Valentine's Day to dance? To the meatball. The meatball. See, it's a meatball instead of... Okay, here's the last one. A man walks into the library and orders a hamburger. The librarian says, "This is a library." The man apologizes and whispers, "I'd like a hamburger, please."
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God!
Okay. Hey, nobody said they were funny. We just said they were there. Okay, let's go back into the text. Come on, you didn't think the meatball one was good? That was a good one. Meatball?
I think you broke it down, Dave. You did say think about it to your credit.
Okay. Meatball. All right, anyway. All right, back to Joby. People are like, why do you call him Joby? I've been teaching this for about 4.5 months. I can call him anything I want at this point. Here we go. Here it is. Go to Job chapter 29. We're going to pick it up, verse 5. The Almighty was still with me, and my children were around me. In those days, my cows produced milk in abundance, and my olive groves poured out streams of olives. Those were the days when I went to the city gate and took my place among the honored elders or honored leaders. So I want to talk about this because this is yet another incredibly interesting portion. So we were just talking about doing the things you did at first. Now I want to explain something with this, and that is it's one thing to look back and appreciate in your life, and that is, in fact, important. Memorials are designed in the Old Testament for you and I to what? Remember. That's why they're called memorials, okay? It's another thing to look back and be dissatisfied or disappointed. So again, I'm not really using his text to say he's dissatisfied. He's not. In fact, he's looking back going, it was awesome, right? Here's the problem with looking back and being dissatisfied with something you went through. Ready? Are you ready? It means you're bitter. That's what it means. You're looking back and going, now let me explain it to you. So a little more Dr. Dave instead of Dr. Phil kind of thing?
Dr. Dave, yeah.
All right, here, a little more Dr. Dave here. When you look back in your life and you complain, when you look back in your life and you are disappointed with what God allowed, your terminology betrays, I'm sorry to say this, your terminology betrays who you are in the Lord in this way. When you look back and say, if only God would have done this, if only this person would have done this, if only, if only, if only, if only, if only, you can't live your life that way. Okay? I'm telling you that if you do, the past will bring you down. It will suck away your energy. You can't do that. You're hurting yourself. You don't look back and go, if only, if only, if only. And so even though, and in this case, I'm just using Job. He looked back and thought it was awesome. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, I'm using that as a launching pad. When we look backwards and we say those were the days and it'll never get any better because it is good, we also lose the ability to look forward. In other words, two points you can't do. You can't look back and be disheartened, and then you can't look back and say it'll never be that good again. Because if you say it'll never be that good again, you have no faith. And if you're disheartened and bitter, you're just ruining everything. Can't do either one of those. That's the whole point. We already know the lesson of looking back when you're not supposed to look back. What happened to Lot's wife? She turned into salt. I mean, this is like the same people that are like, oh, Jesus never mentioned Lot. He said, remember Lot's wife in the Gospel of Luke. I think that's pretty specific. So the thing is, if you look back on something that's favorable, rejoice and say, let me get there again. If you look back on something and you have this bitterness, let go of that and say, let's do that different next time. In other words, that's a completely different spirit that you're approaching it in. You see, it's not that your past doesn't exist. It does. Let's not be weird about it, right? You've had past and done things in the past. I've done things in the past. Just terrible. I'm humiliated by them. I'm discouraged. I can discourage myself quickly by them. I can slap myself a couple times around the head because of them. I've done stupid things, said stupid things, thought stupid things, acted in stupid ways. What would be 10 times dumber than all that is to look back and dwell in it. And another thing, another dumb thing, I've done great things, right? I've done things that are like, wow, wow. And for me to look back and go, it'll never get any better. That's just as stupid. Both of those things are stupid. If you look back and you're like, wow, that was a mess. Lord, never let me walk that way again. I don't want to do that again. And if you look back at something and it's just awesome, say, Lord, I want to do that again. Let's do it. You see, you can't let the past own you. You want to know why? Because it's gone. It's gone. You don't let the past pin you down. You use it to help you with the future. Not so you can dwell back there. Get it? All right, we're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend on the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been four years and 6 months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally, I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay, and so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. I do want to remind people on the website, so I'm not actually going to send you to the website, but I'm telling you, on the website, you can, under the Ambassador Program, okay? Everybody get that? Did I say that clearly?
Ambassador Program.
You can get bumper stickers, business cards, and then brochures or anything else. Okay, you just, all they do is what? They go through and they just look at it and then they just click.
And they can make a donation.
Oh, and they can make a donation. You can make a donation. And if you don't make a donation, we've told you how it'll sound on the show. There's not a lot of noise going on when you don't make a donation because there is no show. I mean, that's the whole point.
I'm Batman.
Anyway, just pointing out to you that those things are important. So you do get that opportunity. Just check it out on the site. We can give him the site thing real quickly. We'll do that. Then we'll do trivia. HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
You know, when I slipped on the ice like 2 years ago, that's what that reminds me of. Is that terrible? I'm listening to that sound going, whoa. Now, I do, for those that are wondering about the contest, there is a book that has been selected for the contest, and I will only tell you that the author, his last name is McDowell. That's all I'm going
to
tell you.
I thought you were about to say Spoon.
No. They can get that for free. I wouldn't do that to somebody. That's mean. No. His first name is Josh. His last name is McDowell, and you have actually heard him on the fills on these shows. So I'm going to be giving away a book. It's called The 77 Most Frequent Questions Asked About the Bible and the Christian Faith. But more information is yet to come, and I can't give you any more than that. So just, what do they say? They hold your horses. Hold your horses. Okay. Here's your next trivia question. Okay? Here you go. All right. Now, Now, we typically have a rule. You answer once. Maybe you can answer twice. But now, you know, now we need new people answering now. So it's got to do it this way. How many total kids did Jacob have with his two extra wives? Remember, Jacob married, right? Rebecca and Leah, right? Right? Is that right? Is it Rebecca? Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting.
Jacob and Rebecca and Leah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then they had two extra wives. He had two extra wives, right? So one from each, right? Okay. Here you go. How many total kids? That's right. This would be the exact time my wife would be listening and go, What kind of question was that?
Right.
Now, I want to know how many total kids with those two wives, just those two wives. So you have to think there's these four wives that are involved in the total of the 12.
A lot going on.
Okay. It's 12 kids, right? 12 tribes of Jacob, right? Right. Okay. This is, we're talking about Jacob, not Abraham. Okay. Jacob, not Isaac. Jacob. Let's say that clear. How many kids did the extra two wives have? So between the extra two wives, Rachel and Leah. See, I keep forgetting. What? I just got to go back to Sunday school. So you got to think how many each one had. How many did Rachel have? How many did Leah have? And then what was left over to make the 12? You see? I'm sure we're going to have to go into the scripture. If you think you know the answer, because I got to this other text, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay. All right. Now, I don't want Jay to feel like we're squeezing him out. I don't like doing that or stuff like that. So don't think that, brother. We love you. Okay. But you get like one, two answers, and then you got to – other people have to call. Because if you don't call, then I'm going to tell them to call again. Okay, see how that works? Okay, so again, I'm going to try and explain this a little better since I did such a poor job. How many total kids did Jacob have with his two extra wives? So he had four wives. So how many kids did Leah have? How many kids did Rachel have, right? And then the other two made up for the rest. Out of 12. There you go. All right. So I have finally said that correctly.
You finally mastered it.
Well, apparently not. I just got the wrong answer from somebody. Okay. We'll wait on history to the next segment because this is – oh, I should give you the number if you want to call.
972-445-0770.
Okay. So all you got to do is look in your Bible in Genesis, by the way, or you can text, right?
214-210-8483. Or you can send an email.
So find out how many, there's 12 total kids. Take out how many kids Leah had. Take out how many kids Rachel had, right? Whatever's left, split that in the middle. There you go. There you go. Okay. I didn't say I do it wisely. I just said I do it, right? Is that okay? Listen to this text. This is, if you've ever seen the movie Nemo, this, you should know this scene. It's with the seagulls, okay? This is how hilarious this is. Job chapter 29, verse 11. And I'm going to read it all and then give you the count, okay? This is Job. All who have heard of me praise me. All who saw me spoke well of me. For I helped the poor in their need and the orphans who had no one to help them. I helped those who had lost hope, and they blessed me, and I caused the widow's hearts to sing for joy. All I did was just and honest. Righteousness covered me like a robe, and I wore justice like a turban. I served as the eyes for the blind and the feet for the lame. I was a father to the poor and made sure that even strangers received a fair trial. I broke the jaws of the godless oppressors and made them release their victims. I thought, surely I will die surrounded by my family after a long life, for I am like a tree. Just stop. Do you know what he did there? 17 times he said, me, I, 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 me, I. So those birds in Nemo, the movie, what did they do when they were hungry? They went, mine, 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 mine. Here's the problem. The problem is when the entire conversation and review of your life and my life is me and I and me, then it's woe is me. Because that's not right. Do you understand? That is like, Job was a great guy. He did phenomenal. I could never endure what he endured. Could never possibly do it. He was phenomenal that way. But in this text, in chapter 29, verse 11 to 18, which is roughly about eight verses, he mentions himself, actually, including verse 18, he mentions me and I 16 times, which is twice as many times in the verse as it's just like, dude, dude, dude. The expression, oh, it's all about you. Remember that Phil where I have Noah says, well, is it all about you? It's like right there. You bet. In this case, when he was doing this review, he's telling everybody all the great things he did. Hey, I got one for you. I got a good one for you. What did you do that God did not enable you to do? What did you accomplish that God did not give you the breath to accomplish? Were you owed that breath, or was it given to you? So then what did you do that you did apart from God? Now, you know he's coming down to the wind down, and I don't actually have a problem with this in the sense that I think he's like, this is where his, this is, he's throwing it out there, right? But, dude, when you say, in this many verses, when you say I and me, 16, 17, and technically 18, if you go through all the way through verse, you go through all the way through verse 19, it's even more. It just keeps adding. I, me, I, me, I, me, I, me. Okay. What about this question? What about him? What about the Lord? What about the kingdom? He wasn't sinless, okay, Job? He wasn't sinless. But this is an area that is gravely inconsistent with his faithfulness. And God let it go in holy writ so that we would go, Job, I think you're self-focusing a lot. So what happens when you self-focus? Every problem in the world that's in your life is 9,000 feet bigger. Because that's all you're focusing on. That's the wisdom in us carrying other people's burdens, loving on other people, caring about them. Because then we're not stuck. In fact, when we get back, I'm going to talk about it. We're not stuck in our little private goofball of a universe when we focus out. Okay? All right. Jay, I should have let you call. All right, the answer to the trivia question. Hey, live and learn. That's part of it. The answer to the trivia question. How many total kids did Jacob have with his two extra wives? And the answer is he had a total of four with the two wives. I believe it was two apiece. I'm pretty sure it was two apiece. So the answer we were looking for was four. Each wife had extra wife had two. I think the answer. All right. If that's wrong, call me up and let me know. Otherwise, we'll take our break. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon experience?
For this is the kind of high priest we need. Holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day, as high priests do, first for their own sins and then those of the people. He did this once for all when he offered himself. Now watch this. Oh boy, this is so unbelievable. Jesus is a unique kind of priest. He is your high priest. He is so unique. And you think, well, why? What is it that makes Jesus unique? And you already know, well, it's because he's, you know, born from the Holy Spirit and he's born from Mary. So he's fully man, fully God. And it's like, okay, I get that part. But there's something else that we miss quite often. And that is Jesus is undefiled, separated from sinners. And verse 27 says he doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day like the high priests do, first for their own sins. So let me explain this to you. When priests or petitioners or people are praying on your behalf, every human being has to deal with their own set of sins. It doesn't matter if it's the high priest of Israel. It doesn't matter if it's the high priest 1 year, 20 years later, 40 years later. There is something that takes place. It's the same dynamic that takes place when you spend time with the Lord and you come before the Lord and you thank him and you recognize the grace of God enables you to stand, because apart from that, the grace, apart from the mercy, apart from the love that comes from the Lord and the redeeming work from Jesus Christ that you receive by faith that he gives by grace, apart from that, you're a mess. And so when you come before the Lord, you're like, Lord, you know, please forgive me. Please don't be mad. Please, you know, don't chasten me. David said it great. Don't chasten me in your hot displeasure. I don't want to get you irritated. Nah, 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 nah. You see, when Jesus comes and petitions for us, he doesn't have to go through that. He doesn't have to be centered on himself to be forgiven, because there's nothing for him to be forgiven. He's sinless. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices for what he's done or for any of the lacking that he would have if he was a regular human priest. So when Jesus comes on our behalf, there's nothing. Get this. Here it is. There's nothing distracting him in his life. He is only focused on our well-being. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We have had a brother on hold for a little while. We're going to send him on through. Knock, knock, who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Steven.
Hello, Steven.
Hello,
how
David,
are you?
This is Steven.
How are you, brother?
I'm okay. I have a comment about your last trivia question.
Gotcha.
And I probably came on late and didn't hear it correctly, perhaps. But I think, would you repeat the question?
Yes. How many? Oh, yeah. See, I see exactly where you're going with that. How many? Okay. There you go. That, it should have been, how many total boys did Jacob have with his two extra wives?
Okay. That. I'll agree with. Yeah. I heard it different when you repeated
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and you're right, because I just read it off this thing and just realized that Dinah was not, I don't think she was listed in there. So that was the miss. That's
no, but there
hilarious.
There could have been girls from the other two people, the other two extras, extra wives, concubines, whatever.
There could have been.
Would not be mentioned in the Bible.
Correct. Now, what's amazing is, if people need a reference point, it's going to be Genesis 30, because that's when Rachel, like, she was like, well, I'm starting to lose this battle again. So she gave her Bilhah, I think it's Bilhah that was given to her, and then the two kids came out of there. So really what we were looking at is Leah had six, you know, Rachel had two, and then there's that's eight, and we're talking about the 12, so we're really going for the 12 minus
right. the eight. Yeah, we had the two other boys, but there were girls.
Yeah.
That good are point. Not mentioned, and so that's just what I was getting at.
Well, you know what? That's why we call. That's why I have you people call in. That's exactly what I need. All right, now while I got you, hold on. While I got you, because you can do this for me. Ready? Jonah.
I'll try.
Jonah, how did he react when the people of Nineveh responded? How did Jonah react when the people did respond to his preaching? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Was he happy? Or was he not happy?
I thought he was not happy.
Correct! You are correct! That's it! He was angry. It's like he goes and he preaches and they listen and he's like, see, I told you this was going to happen. Excellent job, brother. I put you on the spot, but you did a great job, so I appreciate it.
All right, you have a blessed day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. All right, excellent job, I see him. Just to pull it together. See, I threw it right at him, right? But he did a great job. That's what. And listen, when you call, you don't have to do it perfectly. Now, see, what we like is, I like interacting with everybody. Okay, it's just I'm just trying to get some of the people who are afraid to. It's a little. I promise, as far as I can tell, we won't hurt you. But there's no guarantee. Okay, no, we won't hurt you. Okay, but I love you. You get somebody that when. See, I just want to say this. Can I say this personally? You don't mind. I'm paying for it. Why would you mind, D? I just don't even know. When Jay says something like it blesses his day, that blesses me. That gives me the courage and the strength and the stamina.
That's really what it's about, Dave. I think that should encourage us and the audience, I think.
Yeah. It's like that, that means a lot. Do you think it's not a thankless job, but it's also nice. It's nice to be appreciated. Just like anybody, it's nice to be appreciated. Everybody loves that, and I appreciate that. So thank you, Jay, for that. All right, let's back up. We've got history, and then we got to finish. So let's do history real fast.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
Okay, a couple of really good ones. Today is National Jerky Day. I like
Yum.
Beef jerky. I love beef jerky. Sorry. National Peanut Butter Cookie Day.
Yum. Yum.
Superman Day, which is great 40 years ago.
Right.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
Afraid to see Superman nowadays.
Yeah, things are different. Okay, so just move on from there. See, back in the day, you guys, it doesn't matter. It wasn't anything like it was good and evil. And then they went from there to good to evil to overly ridiculous. Let's see. On this day in 1931, Al Capone was arrested. Al Capone and 68 of his men are arrested for bootlegging by Chicago police unit known as the Untouchables.
The real gangsters.
Yeah, that's a real. So the show is not real, but they were the real deal. 1987, this day, Ronald Reagan said to Mikhail Gorbachev, tear down this wall. In a speech giving the leader of the Soviet Union, he gave him a kind of ultimatum. The Berlin Wall actually fell 2 years later. More of that wall fell because of that guy's speech. Then don't tell me he didn't do this. Hey, he said, hey, tear down the wall. 2 years later, it's gone. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I wonder if that works in other things. Dallas Freeway, open up water. Okay, never mind. I just thought I'd try. Okay. Probably didn't work, did it?
Maybe not.
Probably not. Okay. All right, last part of this Job thing. Oh, relax. It's Monday. What do you care? It's Monday. You're supposed to have fun a little. Verse 21. Everyone listened to Mr. Job still talking about how great he is. Job 29:21. Everyone listened to me and valued my advice. They were silent as they waited for me to speak. And after I spoke, they had nothing to add. For my counsel satisfied them. They longed for me to speak as they longed for rain.
This guy's getting a little dangerous here, right? They waited eagerly for my words, were as refreshing as the spring rain. They were discouraged. I smiled at them. My look of approval was precious to them. I told them what they should do and presided over them as their chief. I lived as a king among his troops and as one who comforts those who mourn.
This is the part right here where Joby Obi goes, kind of Obi-Wan Kenobi, because this is like, wow. He's almost done with his speech. He is acknowledging in an unfortunate way that it is all about him. He's bummed out that people used to think of him as great. Now they don't think of him the same way. And he used to engage with people. And boy, without them, what were they going to do? Because he thought without them, they were all in trouble, exactly like you and me think now. Now let me say this in the nicest way. You are important to God. But if the Lord takes you, the universe will continue to exist. I know that's mean. I'm not saying it's not mean. But I am saying you can get to this point where self-aggrandizement is so far up the scale. And Job was getting there. Now, this is why the reason you need to know this is why it's piling down in Job. You're at 29, then you got 30, 31, and then God comes back and starts to smack him with a 2x4. Because what he's doing at this point is he's moved from completely where he was before to self-elevation. Now, these people wouldn't make it without me. They needed me. Yes, they would. I never think that you guys wouldn't make it with me. I've never thought, not even one time, because it's not true. You are God's property. You will make it because he loves you. He's committed to you. I'm blessed to be a part of it and will be as long as he will allow. And then when that's over. Next. And there's nothing else to be said. That's what you do. That's what's great about God. He's the source. You know all those times you go through that encouragement, you know that the Lord has encouraged you and helped you and used somebody to do that? Yeah, but it's God that's doing it. He's the one that makes it happen, okay? Again, I love you guys. You know I do. But he's the one who makes it happen. If it's not me and us, it'll be somebody else because the Lord will do it. That's how cool God is. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.